to the scientific laws of this country. We may not, because we have to make sure that whatever they displace and display in the public domain meets the set standards. I may not be at liberty to engage on the issues that they are raising. But I believe that, yes, we welcome everybody. I'm sorry that they've got this view on ARC, but I'm sure the debate that we may have with them as to whether ARC has, because, of course, let me leave that. I'm sure we can deal with it another time. But I think the presentation, I hope that the department will be able to make sure that there is really a way forward. But for that to happen, there are steps that you have to do. You have to register yourself. You have to work within a system. You have to. And I think one principle I think is very good in business is to sell your apple, not to discredit an orange. I'm saying that's a general rule. When you sell apples, you speak on apples. When you sell oranges, you speak on oranges. Because you don't want a war between the different applicants of this, so that even when we engage with the team, they confine themselves to what they are selling. If there is a scientific debate to be engaged on, let that be done. But if it is done, it must be done in a way that it enhances a good response. And I'm sorry, sir, not to have been at the page you were at. I've already gone past that page.
Thank you very much. I think, you know, one of the things that we have to elevate, Minister, is the issue of the food safety. We should not ignore that one. And we have to move with speed and tighten up our systems and unravel some of the hidden agenda within the system. Every sector has got its own hidden agenda. And therefore, there is a need for the sector to start looking at those issues and deal with them. And to our visitors, you know, ARC, it's our institution which we rely on it, all of us. So we'll appreciate that you work with them, because we would hear from them. Anybody who was outside them obviously has not followed the procedure and the processes of the country. So you have to engage with the ARC, and all these issues need to be tested and before we can make any pronouncement and all those things. Thank you very much for coming. You can shake the minister as you go out. It was very interesting that our guest he did notify that he's sitting next to the minister. Say, go to page 4. You must read that, minister. And that was very interesting. We want to now go into the looking at the presentation of the provinces. I think we must mention that we felt it's important, department and the minister, to invite provinces to come and update the committee on the FEDSATALA targets, how far are they, and the planning. And one of the things that we are not doing very right, which we want to correct, is that, you know, conditional grants, as they get approved, they have been approved based on the business plan. And mostly, the reports that we get does not talk to those business plans that made the Treasury to approve the grants. So we are going to look at how we, through the department, of course, monitor these conditional grants, because the business, most business plans of the provinces and the conditional grants are not speaking the same language, and we must work towards making them speaking the same language. And I must start by thanking the MECs that have taken their time and come and join us, and we want to appreciate that and your presence actually giving us honor as a portfolio committee, because we believe that when the political head is here with us, we is the only one who understands the language of when we say manifesto, MTFS. You are the only people who can, who understand that language, what it meant, or what it meant if you have not actually achieved the manifesto as the political head. So that's why we want to appreciate your attendance to this meeting. And provinces that you have not brought your MECs, you will be the last. So we are going to prioritize those that have brought their MECs, which are three. We'll start with the Northwest because they have requested to present earlier so that they can be released for to welcome their guests in the province. MEC and your team, you're welcome. This is the seat that presenters must use. And as you present provinces, you'd know that we have visited your provinces. There are certain things that we have been asking questions, which we are still going to ask even today. And we'd appreciate that the accurate information. We don't want the story of Honorable Joe Opoko to come back. That story of register should not come back again. HOD, you're welcome, and MEC, welcome to Parliament. You can see our screens are not working properly. You have the honorable members, you have your documents. So you can refer to those documents. We'll continue trying to fix them because it's very good when it's shown on the screen, because that's where even other provinces can learn from one another. So we'll continue to try and fix them. Let me see.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to the leadership, the chairperson and the portfolio committee, minister, deputy minister, colleagues from other provinces, and the support staff. Minister Manke Setlhape, MEC for Rural Environment and Agriculture from the Northwest Province. I'm accompanied by the head of department, Dr. Pontsho Mokaila, Also with me is the Chief Director of Farmer Support Development, Mr. Thabo Muthusi, the Chief Director of Rural Development, Mr. Bojotle Letiyane. We have also chair, we are also accompanied by our former implementing agent, Dade Montswe, who was also mentioned in the letter. He's also around this
Agri,
morning.
What? Agri-Delight?
Agri-Delight.
Oh, Agri-Delight.
Yes, chair.
Okay.
Yes, chair.
You're welcome, Agri-Delight. Indeed, you're very welcome. You can come inside. There is a seat there.
Thanks, Chair. Like the Chair has indicated, we have prepared documents that for sure has been circulated. And with your indulgence, Chair, I would request that I hand over to the Head of Department to take us through the presentation from the province. Dr. Mugaido.
Thank you, Honourable MEC. Thank you also, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, MECs that are around, colleagues, good morning to you all. What I'm presenting here, Chair, is outlined in the table of contents on slide number 3, which essentially would cover those aspects in terms of the presentation that I'm going to render. I would not go into individual items, but safe to say we were guided by the National Department in terms of what we need to prepare for this particular presentation. Slide number 3 and slide number 5, slide number 4 and slide number 5, I would also not dwell much onto that, but essentially those would outline the national policies, the national priorities, and the mandates of agriculture itself, which seems to seek then to inform all the programs that we are implementing. So, Chair, I will then start with the slide number 7, which essentially talks to the FETSA-TLALA 2017-18, and also to give out some progress as at the end of quarter 3. Chair, what we can see here is that we, as an annual target for the province, we had targeted about 13,000 hectares to be...
But it doesn't have numbers. Just tell us, it does not have the numbers. Eh? Oh, mine does not have the numbers. Okay, thank you, HOD.
Thank you, Chair. Just in deliberating on the deliverables within the FETSA-TLALA program for 2017-18, slide number 7. We have an annual target of 13,000 hectares that must be planted, and we want to then say that for the quarter 3, because I take it that quarter 1 and quarter 2, we have already presented those, we had a quarterly target of 8,000. And what we have actually achieved as a province is that we've been able to plant 8,175 hectares, which translates into 38.7 million that was spent. With a budget allocation, a total budget of 38.9 million, we've been able to, in the third quarter, spend 15.2 million. And further, just to explain that we've been able to, with that 8,175,000 hectares, we've been able to support 683 smallholder farmers, and that in itself, Chair, we could say just in terms of the hectares, we've been able to adequately meet our target in terms of what we had targeted for the quarter. Moving on to slide number 8, the slide would then show the a total budget, because now this is the third quarter, and I believe honourable members would also want to see how far away from the annual target in terms of really the financial from a financial perspective. So, Chair, we have a combined Kaspeni-Lima budget which comes to about 41 million, and we've been able to spend thus far, considering all the quarters up to third quarter, we've been able to spend 38.7 million, which is about 93% of the allocation, which can safely display that we are moving towards really, you know, the target of 100%, considering that there has been subsequent planting that took place since the rainfalls that we had in January and February, which would then be accounted for in the fourth quarter. But the slide would also show the geographic spread and also the different quarters for what each district in the province has been able to contribute and spend in terms of that. Moving on to slide number 9, the slide takes back again the 8,175 hectares, and then breaks that down into different commodities that we've been able to plant. And as you can see in the main, we've been able to put about 35% of those hectares under maize, 62% under sunflower, and less than 1% in dry beans, and also 2% in groundnuts. That would be the commodities that we have been able to plant. And Chair, breaking down also the number of smallholder farmers, one could say we have an annual target through Fesatrala then to reach out to about 1,505 farmers, and that's why we've been able to reach 90% of that annual target, which would then suggest that we are also safe to can meet our annual target, given the fact that work has also continued into the fourth quarter, which will be reported then to give us ourselves 100%. Chair, on Fesatrala, one would also want to say that we were requested by National Tupu to submit portfolio of evidence, because it would not assist, you know, this house to look at just figures that would not even, you know, could be substantiated and even during the audit process or even during the oversight. So the portfolio of evidence that we have submitted essentially to localize the Fesatrala, where did we do it? At the district, at the local level, at the municipality, at the farm level, and even a project's name, and even the name of the extension officer. And then further then to give farmers, particulars, the name, the IDs, and so all of those are included, and more importantly, even the signature that, you know, the farmer received that particular service, whether it's an advice, whether it's production inputs, and so on, and production parameters to say how many hectares, what are the type of crop, whether it's dryland or whether it's done under irrigation, the estimated yield, and even the actual yield and the jobs that would be created. All that evidence has been submitted to our sister department. Chair, moving on to the slide number 11, which now talks to the second aspect of this presentation on the Fesatrala planning for 2018-2019. The planting plan. The first slide then takes the plan according to different districts. And as you can see, Ngakamudiri Mulema is known to be the agri-park for grain. We are planning to put into cultivation or into planting about 8,000 hectares, which would then translate into support for about 177 farmers, and the tons of seeds around 32, and also the tons of fertilizers 806. The mechanization, we have about 25 packages, of which 23 are functional, which would mean some we will have to provide some maintenance into those packages so that we can get them back. That is just for Ngakamudiri Mulema district. And then moving on to the second district on slide number 12, which is Dr. Kenneth Kaunda district. This is the agri-park that houses the pork and the poultry, but there's also some activity of crop that is taking place here. There we are targeting 3,300 around there, the figure of hectares that are going to be put planted, targeting 201 farmers, and those are the tonnages of the fertilizers as well as the seed. I will not mention them, and even the mechanization package associated with that to support, you know, the planting activity. And the third district, which is Budayanala, I will move on combining slide number 13 with slide number 14. which essentially says we will then be planting about 2,500 hectares with the associated number of participants, the seeds and fertilizers, as well as mechanizations that is going to be supporting that planting. And then slide number 15, it talks to the last district that we have, which is Dr. Ruth Somusi Mombati. This is our beef, our game agri-park. There's also some crop activities that are taking place. We are there targeting about 4,500 hectares of land to be planted, and these are the participants in terms of the farmers as well as the other parameters that we have outlined in the table. So, Chair, one can safely then say for 2018-2019, we have upped our game from 13,000 hectares to about 18.4 hectares, which translates into about an increase of about 27% compared to the current year that we want to put to plant, and it will have 999. It will serve 997 farmers, translating into 71.6 tons of seeds, 1.8 thousand tons of fertilizers, as well as about 204 functional mechanization, which comes from previous year. As one would understand, we have a mechanization policy that is in place, and over a number of years we've been allocating, purchasing and allocating and transferring mechanization packages to our farmers. Slide number 16 talks to the third aspect of our presentation, which is our response to drought implementation of the drought resistant seeds in the province. Chair, for the current season, for 2017-18, we had 14 farmers that received drought resistant seeds from ARC, which could be, some of which would be BT drought tolerant, some would be the WE 6207 and 6208B and so on. And we want to say that we haven't achieved much success out of our attempts, Chair, because on the 14 farmers that received packages, only farmers were able to plant the drought-resistant cultivars for obvious reasons that we had really low rainfall, or if not late rainfall. So for the maize, it was a little bit out of question. But we are then saying of the four that participated, we had also had different views. Two, I think they are doing well, while the other two also had some limitation in terms of the growth of the plants and so on. But we are continuing. Then this is the basis in terms of our planning for 2018-19. We will then consider these 14 farmers, and with the view that we may raise then 1 hectare on each, and then to also put up our plan into those 14 farmers such that in the next season then we could also move with the same farmers then into 2018-2019. So the farmers are listed there in terms of their location and also the cultivars that they have been able to get from ARC. On our commercial black farmers, slide number 18, Chair, while the vision could be moving along for a 5-year plan, at this stage we have been able to produce a 3-year plan on commercialization of black farmers, which is in place, which will be in place, it's in place. And for the year 2018-19, we have budgeted about 21 million that will be allocated across our 4 districts in the province. And out of the 21 million, we have 5 farmers which will be assisted in terms of crop mixed farming in Dr. KK district, and they will be allocated 5 million. In as far as broiler production, we have 6 farmers, both in Dr. Kenneth Gound and also in Bojanala, and they have been allocated around 600,000. And in terms of beef production, we have about 21 farmers in those different districts, and the allocation for that is 2.7 from the breakdown. On slide number 19, we have 1 farmer on pig production allocated 200,000 in Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, 14 farmers on grain production in Ngakamudiri Mulema district, and with an allocation to the tune of about 11.9 million. Two farmers on vegetables, one on Moringa processing, have also been allocated a combined allocation of 516,000. Chair, in terms of the interventions that we want to bring on to the black commercialization, we want to, in the first place, be able to supplement the production inputs, the infrastructure, to also provide capacity building and training interventions. The South African SAGAP certification, or your South African good agricultural practice, as well as machinery and equipment to our farmers. So we'll be rolling that out on a three-year plan, but for the initial year, it's 21 million that is allocated, which honourable members will be approving then on. Chair, on recruitment of extension officers, we want to then say the slide number 20 shows the different demographics of all extension officers, from an agric advisor up to a director. And one could say, of a total post of 236 that are existing in our establishment, we've been able to fill 188, and that in itself creates 80% staffing and reversedly 20% vacancy rate. This is where we are. But as a province, we have also gone into, we can move on straight to other interventions on page slide 23, which is the appointment of 8 contract agricultural advisors. It's on a 3-year contract, which started now in 2017 and will run up to 2020. We are saying with the 18 out of the vacancy rates of that we have, it already just gives us an additional 8% into our workforce, which then lessens the 20% vacancy rate. We continue, the names of those advisors are listed on slide 18 and slide 19. And slide 25, we can just jump off that one and move on to slide 26. As a second intervention, we also have a program on we have appointed 22 staff from the unemployment graduate program. For this current year, it's about 2 months because they started in February, March. But for 2018 and 19, we'll be continuing with that program. 22 also would also give another 9% improvement into our vacancy rate. And as we move on, then we have a way then to somehow to mitigate that vacancy rate of 20%. The names are listed, but of importance is that we also have, you know, the mentorship that goes with that unemployed graduates, such that they could be able to mentor, the new entrants and impart skills and training to that effect. Slide number 28, that's also still the list. On veterinary services recruitment, not very different from extension officers. We are sitting at 21% of the 150 posts. We've been able to fill up 119. And as one can see the different percentages, we seems to be full house in veterinary technologists, but the major effect that we have in vacancy rate will be with the veterinarians, which is at 67%, and also the public health, which is at 60%. But these are, 60% filled, which creates a 33, 16, and a 40 vacancy rate there. So we have the most vacancy in the public health, and we are looking into that as a department then to prioritize these positions for advertisement. But as you move on of immediate, we have already, you know, run some adverts into about 8 positions according to how they've been described there. But we will further be considering then, you know, the further advertisement so that we can be able to cover even other occupational groups such as your veterinary public health and so on. Chair, also to mitigate the vacancy rate for veterinarians, we want to say these are the statistics for different years that we've had on compulsory community veterinary services for veterinarians, and for the current year we have 12, which already would then even give about 12%, you know, cushion into our vacancy rate, 8% rather. So this is how, and this is who will be the district where they are distributed and so on. So that somehow then assists them to on management of animal diseases. Chair, we want to just say, in terms of our annual performance plan, we are expected to do epidemiological visits, which are seen as veterinary interventions, and we have achieved already now from an annual target of about 12,000. We have already achieved, about 14,000, which seems to be indicating that we have achieved what we have planned. In terms of export facilitation, we had targeted the 640 clients, and we have already, achieved 827. In terms of veterinary laboratories, these are the different tests that we would do on two of our laboratories. We had planned for 140,000, and we have already, for the total annual, achieved about 143,000 tests for different animal diseases and so on. On a veterinary public health, we have a standing target of achieving, 60% public meat safety compliance. And Chair, at this stage, because this is an annual target, if we consider the different, quarterly performance, one can safely say that we have been exceeding this target in the three quarters, and there would not be any chance that we could, lose that in the fourth quarter. So we should be in a position then to achieve that. On different animal diseases, I would not dwell much, but safe to say that we've had two cases or outbreaks in the northwest province of African avian influenza, and one in Lower Dorenstadt Farm, where we have gone through all the control measures to a point where quarantine has been lifted. The one is also was also picked up in Rustenburg. This was on a duck, and at this stage we are still making observation. We have not lifted yet the quarantine, but thus far we have not, other than this, we have never seen any new cases or death that has been experienced around avian influenza. On rabies, we have had several outbreaks in different municipalities, Karisano, Naledi, Daung, Mamusa, and we've been able to put up control measures that would include vaccination, quarantine, and continuous monitoring, as well as reporting to national and also international organizations, as we are expected to do. African horse sickness, we've had also some outbreaks also during March and June in 2017, particularly in Bujanala district, and in all cases, there were deaths and surviving animals, however, were vaccinated. Chair, on vaccinations for control diseases such as brucellosis, rabies, and anthrax, we've been able to vaccinate 125,000 animals, which were, and on surveillance of diseases, a total of 186,419 animals was done. The surveillance was done in that regard. Chair, there was also a question, an aspect on rehabilitation of land, and to us, it would say land care. We have a report on one is with regard to the land care conditional grant that we have been allocated about 8 million. We've been thus far been able to spend 7.2 million, which is about 90%. And on the conditional grants, those are the deliverables that we've been able to achieve in terms of hectareage, and where it involves awareness, the number of learners that we have been able to train, and where it's fencing, the kilometers that we've been able to do. And from our equitable share, we also had an allocation of about 1.5 million, and that includes an additional three projects to the five that is covered by conditional grants, and those are the hectares that we've been able to clear using that equitable share, and that's putting us currently at 92% while we still are in the fourth quarter. So summarily, Chair, that now then says to us for the APP in terms of rehabilitation of land or land care, we had a total target of 1,600 hectares for the annual, and at this stage, just on using the two quarters, we've been able to achieve about 1,000 and 72 hectares, which would then mean that the remaining deficit then would be covered in the fourth quarter. The last aspect, Chair, which involves AgriDelight, I would just start by saying, Chair, since the last visit by the portfolio committee, one, in the first place, we were able then to complete the action plan in terms of specific recommendations by the committee, which my MEC was able then to send and forward to the committee. But further than that, we have further updated, because time has lapsed. So we have updated the action plan in terms of other deliverables that were implemented following the visit. We can also share that with the committee. But the bottom line is that, Chair, much as there could have been challenges that the committee may have picked up during the oversight, the bottom line is that at this stage and as we speak, the contract between the department as well as AgriDelight lapsed on the 31st of October 2017. And as a department, we didn't consider any renewal. We didn't also consider any extension of the contract. But to ensure that service delivery then continues, we then took up provision of service directly with the contractors who may well have been appointed by AgriDelight previously, and that's how we are continuing then to deliver on those particular projects. We have also considered also some collaboration with our development corporation, Northwest Development Corporation, because they also, as well as Public Works, because they also have the capacity on infrastructure. Those are the immediate interventions that we are bringing in, so that we could still continue to implement the infrastructure project as planned in terms of its financial and also milestone deliverables and so on. Chair, in a nutshell, then that brings me then to the end of the presentation, and I could then safely through you return it to my MEC, Chair.
Thank you, MEC and the HOT. Honourable members, this was the presentation from Northwest. Questions, comment, Honourable Sultana, Honourable Holzer, Honourable Stay, Honourable Papa, Honourable Maloy. MEC and HOT, you can note the questions and you will respond later. Let's start, Honourable Sultan.
Thanks very much.
Welcome, Honourable Sheila Stolle from Appropriation Committee. You're welcome. You can participate, ma'am. You're welcome.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. We appreciate both the opening remarks by the MEC as well as the presentation by the head of department. We've taken about 15 minutes or so telling us nothing. When government spends money, the return on investment that is expected is the socio-economic impact. I have not seen you even skirting around that. And I'm just so glad that someone from Appropriations is here to see how a province can position itself to spend with no indication of what it expects as a social return. That's just a remark. And I will be pursuing this with each and every province that's going to present here today. So those that are here to present have an answer ready. Quickly get down to your calculators and be able to tell us what is going to be the socio-economic impact of all this expenditure, Honorable MEC. Question now specifically is based on slide 6. How many farmers are now going to go commercial? We have heard your premier going on TV ever so often talking about rebranding, repositioning, and all that. But you've just indicated a few where you have got. What I'm looking for here are farmers that were started from ground zero and have graduated to being commercial. That's what I'm looking for. Second question, Chair, specifically with regard to my initial comment. How many people will get food as a result of your intervention? People who previously had no food security. And you stand on a platform on a hot Saturday afternoon as the MEC and you say, here is why you should keep keeping us in government. Because out of 10 point or 11 million people who are food insecure in South Africa, so many millions are in my province, and with this intervention, we are going to reduce food insecurity by this percentage. Incidentally, Honorable Chair and Honorable Minister, I put the same question on Friday, the 17th of March, 2015, to the National Department. In 2015, we were in Simon, what's this little town, the other side of Simonstown, Somerset West. And I said, with all what you're telling us, how many, by how much in percentage terms, are you going to reduce food insecurity in the country? Till today, I'm still looking for the answer. 3 years on. Now we've narrowed it down to Northwest. Give us the information. My third question, Chair, is you seem to be focusing on the initial level of the economy of South Africa, let's say Northwest, producing. How many people who are participating in agriculture are in the secondary as well as the tertiary level of agriculture? We're sick and tired of getting African people being forever confined to merely till the land. Incidentally, we happen to know that that's where you least make money in agriculture, when you are a producer. And that's where I'm coming from, Honorable Chair, where I want to know how many of the people that you support are in the secondary, that's manufacturing, tertiary, that is retail. Because that's where the issue of infrastructure and more comprehensive training comes from. I didn't have to go to school in order to be able to learn how to till land. Honorable Minister knows that. He knows exactly where I come from. He knows my house as well in the rural part. You're not talking to us if you're talking about just production. That's why I want to know if we're moving after 23 years. The next question, Chair, is risk. We do not live in heaven. I have not seen a single line talking to risks. We know about the drought. We've heard you loud and clear when you concede that even in spite of acknowledging that there's drought, you still expected rain. That's positive thinking. Nothing wrong with that. What risk factors are attendant to your endeavors to reduce poverty? Incidentally, the name of the program is Fetsa Tlala. I'm closer speaking. I understand that to mean a peeling life. Say, grieving life. So, now in order for you to grieve the Tlala, to Fetsa Tlala, to finish up poverty, to end poverty, what are the risk factors and what are your proposed mitigating steps to overcome those? We are not exactly in heaven. We may be praying as Christians to get there. I don't know if they till land. Those are my questions, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Paul, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. I'd like to echo the sentiments of Honorable Sultani. You know, the issue of Fetsa Tlala is not only to address food security, but also nutritional security as to how it impacts people's people's households. And there's no indication here as to how agriculture has opened up to new entrants to participate in the sector. So I think that is an important aspect about T'Challa, is that, you know, you can produce food, yes, enough food, but who says that people have money to access that food? So there's a question of nutritional security, and agriculture can produce so much opportunities for so many people. There's enough land. I was deployed to the Northwest. In fact, the Northwest had a drought far more severe than the Western Cape. But it wasn't spoken about much, because when I used to drive from the airport, I used to see dead cattle along the side of the road. So I'd also like to know, in terms of those losses, how have you helped those farmers to get back on their feet again? Right? Second question. And the third question, you know the wild animals that your premier sold off to his private friends. How has that money been used in advancing agriculture in the Northwest? You know, he was never supposed to sell off that cattle. He's in deep trouble. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Stay. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters. I think also, Chair, it helps us as a portfolio if we go and do oversight in a province, because we pick up things that we can then follow up when we are here. I also want to thank the department for giving us this information. It helps us when we go out, do our oversight visits, to go and see for ourselves the impact. Chairperson, as I asked in the past, that when the departments come back next, we want to see what the impact was of this funding. It's all good and well for us to have it now, but we're coming back, and as I said in the past, if you say you've planted 5 hectares, what was the yield? How did it change the lives of the people? And I think you were present when I asked the question previously to Stats SA, that we want to see what is the linkage between poverty and hunger and people having access to food, because it's two different things. It doesn't say if you do have access to funding or money that it directly eliminates hunger, so that we can see if we are making an impact, because my whole thing is that we are pumping money into agriculture, and I know that the amount is not enough. We can't cover all the people, but at least where we do, if we get people out of poverty and out of hunger with that amount, so that we can make that linkage at the later stage. Chair, there's a few questions. The first one is, how was the identification of this commercial farmers done? I think we asked that question when we were in the province at that time. I don't see it here as an answer. And still, you know, there was a lot of a discussion about the classification of small-scale farmers and the others. So at least, how did you identify the commercial farmers? And I think when you're coming back sometime at the end of the year or later, when we call them again, we need to see processes followed. How are they doing? Because we can't keep on providing the same farmers with assistance over and over and over and over and over again. Then on this list of the drought-resistant maize, there are some names that's in yellow. Why are they a different color marked to the others on your slides? Is there something specifically there? Then, Chairperson, I see there's still on slide 23, agricultural advisors, 18 of them. What is the purpose on slide 23? You are talking about 18 agricultural advisors. Are they part of the department? Are they extra people? Are they new people? And what is the role of them? And that will bring me to the next advisors that you have appointed since, I'm not sure when, a few years ago, Agri Delight. And one of the reasons why we asked them is when we were visiting in Limpopo, and even previously on our own oversight, farmers complained bitterly that things that they could do for themselves in the past are now taken out of their hands by by the Agri Delight people that you appointed as your service providers. What was the reason for doing that? When were they appointed in the first place? What year was that? What was the reason for appointing someone that do the job of the department? And I would like to find out also whether any training was done to farmers, because I quickly went into Agri Delight's website, that is very sketchy in any case, on any information about Agri Delight. But I see that they are accredited to AgriSeta. So I would like to find out, in the time, in the years that they were appointed, what kind of training happened, because now that they are not there anymore, and you are now having other contractors, I think, looking at your presentation. What kind of training did Agri Delight do to the farmers at the time when they were appointed? Can any one of them now stand on their own feet and do their own work, or would they need someone to come and tell them again how to plant and buy cattle and do the things that they were doing beforehand? And then lastly, will the department know what budget was allocated to Agri Delight over the years, these years? What was the total amount that the guys got out of the Department of Northwest for doing work that the department was supposed to do? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also join my colleagues in appreciating the report. One question, there are only a few questions for me. One is on the seed that was not used, and therefore I think it was preserved then, and therefore I would like to know if maybe this will make any improvement or any better situation for the next season, if there is some seed that was not used in this season. Secondly, I haven't heard much on assistance to subsistence farmers, or maybe in the province don't have much of those, besides those whom you would think they are going to be commercialized. Thirdly, do you as a department in the province have any challenges that you still face that are still to be addressed, or maybe that in this season everything goes on smoothly and you can simply continue? There are no challenges that maybe needs to be addressed. Now on the last one on Agri Delight, just to get an idea that now that Agri Delight we have reached that stage with them, there's no need to renew a contract, but with having worked with them, can you confidently say, because we engaged them, they have taken this far, we have gone this far, it was worth using them, and therefore you are comfortable with at least that during their engagement, this is quality work, or this is what has been assisting to the department as a service provider? I think that is for the protection.
No, thanks, Chair. Now, Chair, you will recall that when we were in the Northwest, on the last day, the majority of members had to leave. You and I were to remain behind and get some more information from the department. And they did provide that information, and that is appreciated. So I will not pose questions that were answered when we were there, because we were there, they did answer those questions. What I must also appreciate is that despite the fact that an implementing agent called Agri Delight agreed to come here when called to do so, that action must be appreciated, despite the fact that their contract has expired and it is not extended. So they are here. And in that meeting, Chair, you will recall that the issue we had was with Agri Delight. Those were the only people who could not provide us with answers to some of the questions that we had.
and we agreed that we must have a date with them. And that date has arrived. The first question I want to pose before I go to AgriDelight to the department, I appreciate the presentation. This is a good accountability in terms of your APP and so on. The only question I have for you is with the graduates, the unemployed graduates. You gave them a 2 month contract, which is February to March, and you say you will reconsider or consider them again in the next financial year. Now, from where I'm sitting, I move from an assumption that when you draft your APP and you do your budget and so on and so forth, you prepare for all these things. As to why you gave them a 2 month contract, what is the issue? Because I know that possibilities are that you might say it's because the financial year is coming to an end, and that can be an answer, by the way. You can employ a person on the 15th of March. It does not mean that his contract must end the end of March because we are starting a new financial year. It must be included in your APP 2018-2019 going forward and so on and so forth. Why the 2 months? And I'm raising this question because those of you who are from the Northwest, you will know the situation with the EPWP contract workers, what happened there and so on. And I don't want us to get into that situation in agriculture again. So that's the only question. Now let's go to AgriDelight. But before I do that, I want to make this example, Chair. You know, we visited a one farmer who is a woman in an area in Ramatlabama. And she was saying to us I can't do my work because I don't have a tractor, no mechanization. And we insisted that, no, department, can you make a plan? Make sure that this woman get a tractor in order for them to work the land. And I'm happy that tractor, you did get it somewhere, and it was there a day before. Now, the implementing agent, AgriDelight, money from a government, whether it's conditional grant or it's a equitable share, goes to this implementing agent to do all these things that we want them to do, mechanization, feed, and so on and so forth. But doesn't buy these tractors. If they can tell us as to the money which is meant for this mechanization, where is it? If our farmers will struggle just to get a tractor to do this work, what happened to this money which was meant for tractors? The other farmer chair says the department through AgriDelight gives him 50 cows to do whatever. And in the process, luckily, this farmer gets employed by government. And AgriDelight goes and takes those cattle from this farmer to their farm, to the farm of AgriDelight. And from where I'm sitting, is that at least those cattle must go, if this person does not qualify to have those cattle must at least go to another farmer who is deserving, but not to AgriDelight. And not for their own benefit. Now, AgriDelight must then begin to tell us as to why are we doing these things. Now, Chair, when we were in Ventersdorp, you will recall that we visited one farmer there. A farmer says to us, I have these tractors that are not working and so on and so forth. I'm supposed to be one of the commercial farmers, etc., etc. And this farmer is struggling to get assistance from us. And we are saying we must commercialize. We go to a farm in Volmaranstadt, Makwasi Hills. The one we said is a good example. We are doing good things and so on and so forth. Now, this farmer and AgriDelight must answer. And I want them to answer, Chair. Now, you know this farm is bought by the department for 45 million and so on.
it's a good farm, it has got everything and so on. And it's a successful farm. It's successful because AgriDelight happens to be a partner in that farm. But there's other farmers where AgriDelight is not involved, they are not assisted. And this money, when it goes to AgriDelight, is for the benefit of smallholder farmers, not for the benefit of AgriDelight. Now, AgriDelight must explain to us, when government gives them money to do work on behalf of government, why are beneficiaries not benefiting, but it is them who benefit out of this thing? So these are the issues that AgriDelight must answer to this committee. Because our job is not to give some company or some implementing agency money of government for their own benefit. It's to make sure that we commercialize black farmers, we assist them with all the necessary things, is to make sure that there is mechanization and it goes to deserving beneficiaries, is to make sure that if there is doubt, we assist them with the seed, with everything that they need to be assisted with, but not to go to this implementing agent. And I'm not sure, Chair, but they will confirm. You know, when were they appointed? 2015, 2014? Was it a three-year contract? Yeah. Just for 3 years, Chair. And it's a question which was posed by Honorable Stein, and I assume. Just for 3 years, having interacted with other people and so on, to just check this AgriDelight before they came here, I'm told that money just from government to this implementing agency is over 650 million to assist farmers in the Northwest. We have not been assisted. We are crying. And what is worse, you know, one farmer, Chair, you will recall, she says to us, I won an award. I only received 50%. The other 50% went to AgriDelight. Now, we need to understand as to what is this thing? Who is this AgriDelight? Who is creating problems for us in agriculture? Thanks, Chair. I did indicate that I won't raise a lot of questions to the department because we interacted with them on the last day. So they answered most of the questions.
Thank you very much, honorable members. MEC and HOD, there is Mr. Tembile, Chap, who said he has drilled boreholes in Northwest. Even today, he has not received the payment. And this chap has distributed this letter to all members. And we want you to tell us about this, what happened, why he's not been paid, because he's the black person for that matter, and our intention is to build them. Now he's not been paid. The second thing, MEC, when we were at Jolobili Fishery Project, HOD made commitment on your behalf that there was a small scale fishery project there in the dam, and there was your officials from parks who were refusing them entry, and they were made to pay a certain amount of money. HOD said we'll actually work on that, and because they are in your department, if we can just touch even on that one. And appreciating your presentation, which is more detailed and specified. On the farmers that you serviced or you assisted or subsistence farmers, I don't see the the classification that you have done with the, your advisors, where you show gender, these women, how many women you have assisted, how many youth and men. It's very important, this issue, because if you look at the statistics South Africa, it says majority of women are involved in agriculture. But government department, when they assist, they don't take that cognizance in when they assist with resources. So we are following it up precisely because they need to get assistance too. So the issue of agri-parks emission, because when we go to Minister of Rural Development, it says every now and then we say finish, done. We go to Northwest, we want to see that thing is not done. Where is the money? Who's supposed to do what, and how far are we? I know that when we were there, you indicated that the money is not yet received. By the way, we are talking about the pronouncement that was made by the president, who said there is $3 billion from rural development to develop agri parks in the 49 districts. The only one that you see functioning, mostly the money comes from the CAF, which is a problem, because I know that is a frustration of the department of provincial government, that the president has pronounced that there is no movement in terms of resources. But we have to have solution for that, because it's a problem. We just want to check how far is the process. When are we concluding these agri-parks, whether the money is flowing or is still the problem, so that as we meet with rural development, we can continue, we must continue to raise that. The issue of commercialization of black farmers, we've met with the department. The new president talks about 5 years, because the department has went to withdraw what they've told President Zuma to pronounce in the last financial year. President Zuma talked about commercialization of 500 farmers within a financial year. And department says, we look at this issue, we find it very complex, and it needs to be, you need a framework so that you are able to monitor. What do you mean when we say you commercialize the black farmers? And we believed in the in their story, but we're still waiting for that framework, which I'll ask honorable members that as we ask the question, we must recall that we need to look at the framework. As we ask questions, we base ourselves into, this is what government supposed to do to commercialize a farm. I would ask honorable members just to leave that question for now, because there is no framework from the department. The last question is, the out of the support that you give, how many of the farm or the farmers you assist are the recap, or what do you call it, the ALRAT, or PLUS programs? How many of those farms are from those programs? And what is your collaboration with the main department, which is the rural development, in terms of assisting those farmers? So HOD, or let's start with the MEC if he wants to, or you can close the MEC, let's give it to HOD, you can then close the
the answering of the question. HOD?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I would provide a response to questions that have been raised by honorable members, and starting with Honorable, I believe it's Kutane. I think on the socio-economic side of our impact through agricultural program, I think the Honorable Chair is raising a very valid point to say what demonstrable evidence can we give in terms of the socio, which could be your jobs, the socio-economy could be your jobs, the poverty eradication, as well as the inequality that our programs would have as an impact on the ground. And I would therefore concede that, Chair, it's something that we will take home. It's something that we will, you know, learn from to say how do we then package what we may be theoretically saying we have achieved financially, non-financially, into how it gets to reduce, you know, your poverty, like Honorable Steyn has already mentioned, to say how are we going to reduce poverty? What is the level of hunger that is going to be reduced, and so on? We've not been able to quantify that, but I don't want to waste the time of honorable members, but we take that as a valid. We will consider and learn from that input by Honorable Kutane. Similarly, it will go to how many people will get food. We may be having an idea that we've got so many projects that would quantitatively produce maize, sunflower, what, but as to how that would, in an immense way, you know, contribute towards hunger reduction, we are also not able to measure. And maybe that will, I think I could take this discussion back to, you know, the earlier discussion between DAF and South Africa, to say we need to do something in terms of drawing up some analysis within the sector, and we need to get our farmer register in place, and if we could do that study through them, I think we could be able to pick up certain indicators that we could be able to measure periodically to a point where we could be able to make, you know, to assess the impact. I think it goes around those, how many people are on secondary production or into processing. I would not have the figures, Chair, but I think one would agree that for a reasonable period of time since 1994, we've done a lot of production. But for the past 5 years, I think we have started now to look into the production side of various commodities that we have in the province, where there could be, you know, a meat commodity. We have started to establish abattoirs. Where there's maize, we have started to, you know, look into the millings, and honorable members may have seen even some of the small milling plants that we are starting there. Where there are vegetables, we have looked into how we can make some agro hubs and processing plants and so on. So the thinking is there, the efforts are there, but I want to agree that we haven't started to really have an impact in terms of agro processing, because they also consume a lot of funding, and they become multi-year projects that, you know, would even take time to, you know, before you complete them and so on. But we have started to think along that line, and I think even our business plan for 2018-19 would reflect what a portion are we making in terms of our contribution to the processing part or the secondary production of agriculture. Still on Honorable Kutane about the risk, what risk factors and what proposed factors are we, when we came for this particular meeting, Chair, I must just disclose that we were guided by, not in a bad way, by some, you know, guidance from national in terms of saying this would be the aspects that we need to cover. But if one was to make assessment of the business plans for our province, and I think given the NAP process, even for other provinces, we've been able to say, even if we put up a plan for 2018-19, what are the risk factors that would be, you know, go with various commodities, and how are we trying to mitigate? Yes, drought would be one of them from a climatic perspective. and so on. There would be diseases, there would be a lot of pests that we need to consider there. I would not spell them one by one, but I think the transferring officer would not even approve a business plan that would not have that aspect into our business plan. But we do have, we may have not just mentioned it in our presentation, Honorable. Honorable, that was now for Honorable Kutani, and for Honorable, forgot the name, but Okay, Honorable Paulson, your first question also, which is pretty much the same as Honorable Stain and also for Kutani about the impact on the ground, what we are doing, I think is the same response that we really need to take this back home and working with DAV and South Africa to start and see how we can really move towards measuring the impact and so on. The other question, I think, which you mentioned on the wild animals being sold and so on, I think, Chair, we've been able to provide a lot of responses to the Portfolio Committee on Environment, and at times what seems to be in the media space is not necessarily what is really on the ground and in terms of correctness of the, or factually correct. I'm not saying the Honourable Member, the facts are not correct or so, but sometimes we see things in the media space. But Chair, if Honourable Paulson would want to have more information on this, we can provide. But at this stage, I think what has been stated here that animals were sold is not factually correct, if I may put it that way. And then moving on to Honorable Stain, also on the impact, because the amount in agriculture is not enough, we are taking that back home. The identification of the commercial farmers, Chair, I hear the quantities that have been mentioned in terms of pronouncement and so on, and we are coming only with 50 as a province, but that would be our starting point. We can only improve, we can only grow these numbers, but identification of our farmers was on the basis of the annual turnover. That was the main thing, to say those farmers that were close to around 4 to 5 million in terms of annual turnover, we could start saying these people are, they are really in the business of agriculture. That was one of the criteria. So we went on, some of the farmers could even fall below that, but we also took some that would also have the potential. So it was that criteria factor, but also with some potential, even those, we would not say, suggest that every farmer that is on the list could be netting around 4 to 5 million per annum, but even those that were potential were also accommodated, because that is one aspect that we haven't looked into commercialization of those farmers. So that was the main criteria factor that we have applied. The 18 agricultural advisors, I think as I was presenting, I was saying the extension officer, I think the vacancy rate, we are sitting at 21%. But what are we doing about the 21%? Then I started mentioning other programs that are in place, and the 18 that we had appointed would be outside because they are not really in a full-time establishment. So they are, in a way, reducing then the vacancy rate, if I were to mention it. Equally also from the question that was raised by Honorable Nono in relation to that, but about the 2 months contract, I think the sponsor of the presentation, I think, was only looking at the financial year. You are correct, Honorable Maloy. But the appointment would then move into the 2018-19, and it will be included into the APP as we move on. So it doesn't mean then we will just appoint for 2 months, and then from there we terminate the appointment. Now, any training done by AgriLite, that I can, because AgriLite was mainly responsible and in charge for infrastructure development. Training, you Honorable Stain, you may have well during one of the oversights, visited maybe one of our training facilities that we often call CORA Farmer Training Facility. We also have two agricultural colleges that are also on the site assisting with farmer training. We also have a satellite which we have established in Moretele. So the training was not part of the AgriDelight performance, but we did it, we housed it inwards into our department, and there would be statistics that are targeted on our APP and what we have been delivering. So farmers have been trained on various commodity, your record keeping, your financial management, conflict management, on all those sorts of modules. Those have been designed and to be trained with farmers. We have also collaborated with Butle in Mpumalanga. Also, they have been assisting, and in some instances, we've been using also AgriCETA accredited service providers just to beef up our the rendering of training. Honorable, I forgot the name again, but the honorable who asked on Baka Kappa. Yeah, he asked about the seeds and the preservation and so on. I would not have really a technically precise answer on that, but my sense is that even if they were to expire, we will take the responsibility as a department to ensure that though the farmers are provided with the seeds such that we can start the cycle. We would understand that it was not out of their making. But because of the dry spell or the drought, that they were not able to plant those seeds. So I think they may well expire. I'm not sure, but even if they do, we will take the responsibility as a department to ensure that they stay on the line, because those are the only 14 farmers for now that we say they could then participate in this particular program, and we cannot then take that lying down. We will then have to just ensure that it works out. It would be fortunate if they would be found not to have expired. But I would not have a technical question on to say on the expiry, whatever. If I had some of my extension officers here, I think they would come handy. The question on was it worth it using AgriDelight. Chair, I want to say, look, in the 3 years where they have been contracted, one would say that we have been very successful in achieving a lot of infrastructure which we didn't have capacity on. But Chair, like any other contract, nothing would ever run smooth without challenges. There you would also face some challenges as a private sector. We'd also, as a party too, we'd also face some challenges. So we have learned from it, and in the meantime, we believe that we do have adequate capacity because we didn't have enough engineering services. So we want to assure that we will then we have looked into that, and we will not then revert back to the issues around implementation agents. But yes, in a great length, we have achieved more, but there would be challenges that we also need to address. Moving on to Honorable Nono Maloi about the unemployed graduates, I think I've already responded to that. But on the information that we didn't have here as part of the presentation, Chair, we want to say, If we were to be made that it was necessary, we could have brought some of the information. But we have learned from the questions. We take them, some of them, as take home, and we will improve in our way of doing some work. There are also questions from Honourable Chair. Those that are AgriDelight, I'll leave that. But on the Tswelelo beneficiary, Chair. We from the day that the portfolio committee visited this project, those beneficiaries have not been paying any money into the project. But now, because this is now a corporate decision that has to follow the broader board resolutions, processes, and so on, for other projects, not just on Nitswelelo Pele, we are pursuing that particular process so that we could also, at the principal level, allow that even all other, you know, projects that could be established in future and those that are existing then could also be covered by the same relaxation that that is a food security, and there's no need for you know, any payment of entry fee, as if we are now you know, involved in angling and fishing and so on. The farms that we are assisting, or the beneficiaries that we are assisting, and its linkages to land reform, whether it's PLAS, whether it's restitution and so on. Chair, I would not have the precise statistics to say how many beneficiaries here are land reform. But as a principle, and it is not just for the Northwest Province, it goes even for all other provinces, that the business plan, transferring officer would not approve anything that would not reflect you know, the fact that we are in a way of establishing our programs, assisting the land reform beneficiaries, and it may not be the entire you know, statistics, but I think to a great extent we are contributing that we can populate those statistics, I think, next time when we engage and interact, such that we could reflect on it. So, Chair, that would be then, I think, that would be my final response then to the members in terms of the questions that were posed. I'm handing back then to the Chair, or Honourable MEC through the Chair.
MEC? Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity, and Honourable Members. This is an eye-opener. Like the HOD indicates, Chair, we will send the specifics on questions that we could not respond to on issues of percentages and everything where the members deems necessary. Chair, must indicate that out of the presentation that Stats SA has just done, members would have realized that Northwest, we're standing at number 3 now from the bottom on issues of food security. We have been the last province on food security. And I take, Chair, out of the support that we got from DAF, because at some stage we got this presentation at our MINMEC, even at province, the Stats SA has been coming. And out of the pronouncement that has been done also by the Premier to focus more on agriculture, we had been able to do some projects that speaks to issues of food security, Chair. That information can be provided. And at the moment, Chair, we're grappling with what the Premier is calling Sefalana basket, 10 items that must be in every household. Hence, we're having this project in your Mazista, in all these townships of Derby, Bokutwano, and everything, coupled with 1 hectare, 1 garden, one household here, Dr. DLR. And, Chair, I also want to agree with the Honourable Stein when he says having money doesn't translate to you having food. What is it that we're doing? And this, Chair, I don't know how will it assist, because I have always had an issue, not that I can do anything much, on the indicator of food security that SPSA does, uses. For an example, they would say, did you have money to buy food at some stage or whatever. When you look at the intervention of the government as a whole, grants in every household almost, all these projects from social development, from other departments, small business and everything, for me up to now I'm still grappling, and it's always a problem for me to say, is this an indicator, the best indicator to say we can measure issues of food security in households, for an example. But in all fairness, we're working hard on the very same indicator and making sure that we make a difference. And, Chair, like I've indicated, we are now at number 3. I don't know with the recent, if we will have the recent. And I would also request that this be done every three years, like they've indicated that it has been 5 years. Chair, the risks to reduce poverty that Honorable Kutani also asked on. We had a drought dialogue when this drought thing started, and the department from National then
sorry,
the City Minister.
I just want to repeat my surname so that it is pronounced correctly. It is Phil Chane. Thank you, Chair.
Profuse apologies, Honorable Member. And out of that, as a sector in the province, we mapped up risk mitigating factors. Our sector and the farmers and financials, we agreed then to have a fodder bank established. It is there in our plans. It's being established in Taung. We pronounced on it last year. It is a three-year kind of a product, a project. We also agreed with the sector then to bring back what we used to call to be called the AgriBank. We have just launched the Northwest Agri Fund because of the challenges, legalities, that it couldn't be a bank. So those were issues that the farmers said, if this can be done, it will also alleviate our strain as farmers that sometimes cannot even meet the criteria when there's a intervention. But in that year also, the minister agreed to give us the leeway to use the grants that was left to make sure that we alleviate the distressed farmers at that moment in time. Chair, we are also opening for new entrants through the Northwest Agri-Fund because some don't even meet the criteria, like I'm saying, of being beneficiaries to the grants. People that are working maybe in private sector, in government, and have this passion for farming will benefit out of the soft loans of this blended kind of finance that we have just launched. We also focusing on the new entrants, more especially on the targets, 30 hectares per year. These are the lands that has been lying fallow. It is over and above that we have been plowing. Now, when we say for the financial year, we're looking at 8,000 hectares. It is the land that has not been plowed, and we are assisting new entrants in that regard. We have been trying to focus more on agricultural infrastructure, Chairperson, like the HOD has indicated, more to for us to move towards agro-processing, not only focus on production, hence all these projects of infrastructure. And this is what we said. Moving forward, agro-processing is not that elevated. We need to use the agricultural infrastructure to make sure that we agro-process in the Northwest. So we have also established or rekindled our structures for youth in agriculture and rural development, YAD and WAD, women in agriculture and rural development, just to deal with the issue that Chair raised of classification of farmers. Before we finally approve our project list, we make sure that a percentage of assistance is more biased towards these designated groups so that we bring them also to the fore and through YAD and through WAD. This has been bearing fruits for us in the province. The issue of AgriParks, Chair, like we said last time, we are working with the Department of Rural and Land Reform. As a department, every year we budget for these programs. And I must indicate, Chair, that last year during harvest season, the AgriPark in Springbok Pan, 30,000 tons of maize was stored there. We are currently doing the intervention on dumping, the dumping cost on the AgriPark, and a milling plant out of the funds of the department is going on. We're still urging the Department of Rural and Land Reform that we should make sure that in the very four districts, this run concurrently, we don't focus on one AgriPark. But the department has promised, Chair, and I know that plans has been like presented for your Moretele AgriPark and all that. So it is an issue of us also not waiting for them, like I've indicated. Every year we budget for this AgriParks, but I would request also that At the level of the MINMEC, the minister has also been saying to our counterparts, let's work together and make sure that our plans are talking to each other. But, Chair, I think with the intervention moving forward, we should be able to say the money that they said they have budgeted, how does it get actualized or realized on the ground? Because they have plans currently, everything else is done. I know that in some of our agri-parties, they are just waiting for EIAs, like they've indicated, Comrade, but they still maintain and the budget is there. But it will be our happiness if this can also run concurrently, just not on one agri-park at the moment. Chair, we did not indicate the challenges, probably because of the format, but like we say, we want to be a province that does not only rely on grants. And this has been our advocacy in our executive, and saying the pronouncement that has been made by the Premier must be followed by resources. I know that the Minister is very passionate about, is it 10 or 5% of SADC baseline that has to go to agriculture, and he says this must also be implemented in our country and also in provinces. And I think because of the pronouncement that the President has taken the posture, we will realize this. Hence, we have your NWAF also to make sure that we do that. But it pains us as a department that when this is pointed out to us as a province to say if National has to take off their grants, it means we will not be able to run our programs. And this is what we are saying at the provincial level to say, allocate enough budget for us. We cannot say agriculture is the key and we don't have anything and we rely on the grants. We also use enough, like I'm saying, Chair, to avoid repetition of the same beneficiaries year in, year out. And this is an admission to say when you have been assisted, it may not be enough. You may want to expand your enterprise, your business, your agricultural business, and we cannot come back to you. Hence, we said we have soft loans that members, the farmers can just work on, and those that are at the level of going on to commercial also take advantage of that. We are offering support, Chair, to the beneficiaries of DLR. Or our offering to beneficiaries of DLR are a problem, like members have realized, that we always have to run after them. They will buy a farm or something, land acquisition project for beneficiaries, and us with support, it becomes a challenge. Hence, we have been saying at national level, I know in the joint meetings, let each other know the programs that are on the left hand must know what the right hand is doing, so that we don't run after them. And as and when members make these services, they find us also in par, but it has been a challenge also to run after them and make sure that we offer support where they are beneficiaries of land acquisition. Thanks, Chair.
Can't send me, sir? Members, any follow-up? Agri life. What are they?
Thank you.
Let's wait. Let's get Agri Delight. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Jefferson, and good afternoon. I think I'm sitting here in my capacity as a director of AgriDelight. I'm the only director in the company, and the company is more than 10 years in operation.
You didn't hear the, your name?
My name is Derek Monchwe.
Okay.
The company is more than 10 years in operation, and we mainly focus in the agricultural development value chain. We run our own farms, we run our own enterprises in terms of secondary and tertiary. I think I'm going to be very specific, or at least precise, to the questions raised. The first question that I noted, what was the reason for appointment of AgriDelight? I think I want to leave that with the department, because I think we only responded to the bid, so I'm not able to answer the question. What training did AgriDelight do? To answer the question, we only responded or did work according to an order. It's not according to the mandate of the business. We have many other things that we do, including training. Not only for the department, we have other clients where we we are running training as well. And also the worth that we have given to government, I think there's financial worth, there's you know, economic in terms of jobs. I think it's quantified. We've given reports to the department. The detail can be shared, you know, by specifics if required. I think HOD has all the reports that we have shared. And basically we have performed in terms of the mandate that we, or at least the scope of work allocated as a company. Now the question of funds for tractors, I think there has been, you know, services that we contracted in terms of crop massification, and I think, you know, the department has got records of our reports as far as what transpired in terms of that. We have also gathered that information, which is public information. So I would believe that I would not want to respond to any detail regarding that. If maybe Honorable maybe would follow, or maybe the department could give you further details, because I think it's information that is already in the public as far as the tractor story. I think the next question around the...
But you know, my problem is that you are saying you can't give the details. This is the second question. I say you can't give the details. And you are speaking now. I'm asking myself, what then should I do with you?
I think, Chair, the reason why I'm saying...
Listen to me.
Yeah,
I'm still speaking. There are specific questions that we ask on the basis that members have visited the project that where you are supposed to have assisted, and those people, they've said they have not received your assistance. There are specific questions that are asked, are very specific. The question that you have given department report doesn't arise here. We don't want the pool of your report. They are asking on specific projects that they visited, honorable members. If you don't have, just say I don't have that report, so that we pass. But because you are addressing us and you don't give us information, continuously saying I can't give the detail and all those things. So can you, honorable Fandal, can you be ordered, please? Be ordered. So if we can do that, we'll save this meeting, Chair, because there is a lot of grumbling because of your response.
Okay, Chair, I think going into the question of AgriDelight being a partner of a successful farm in the Northwest, which was bought for $45 million, I also want to say that, again, I'm the only director in the company. And I think in terms of CIPC documents, as far as I know, AgriDelight is not a director or a shareholder or a partner in any of such a firm. The members are welcome to do their CIPRO or CIPC research as far as that. However, I must also mention that in the implementation responsibility of projects, we had related with this firm because the firm is manufacturing feed, and from time to time the department needed feed. We sent out quotations, and some of the quotations came from the very same supplier, which supplied just like any other, you know, supplier, and we would consider them on price and quality basis. Thank you, Chair. And then, Chair, I think the other one on the award winner, I'm not aware. I'm sorry, I'm not aware of the award winner 50% budget being transferred to AgriDelight and some of it being given to the award winner. I think maybe HOD can assist me with regard to that. I have no knowledge. And the last one, Chairperson, I think is on the drilling and non-payment. We ended our contract last year, 31st of October. At the time of ending the contract, we had creditors and we had debtors. and the department, we raised the issue of debt with them in the form of a claim, which I think is still being looked at by the department. We are engaging the department to resolve the issue of our claim because we had certain costs that we incurred that basically, you know, increased our expenditure. And I think HOD can also maybe add to that. And the cattle repossessed and delivered to AgriDelight Farm. Yeah, I think maybe Chair, I think I would say that we had our best interest in ensuring that whatever we do, the department benefits, and we could not in any way, you know, drop cattle on the street or take them to a place where we cannot be able to account because we are in charge of the process. However, the ultimate delivery of cattle then becomes the directive of the department, which we implement. So I think from our side, we do not basically take liability, and that is as per contract. The department takes the liability, and hence we would service them according to the request. Any request they want us to do, it's put in the form of an order, written instruction, we deliver. And I think that will be my answer. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You are done?
Yeah, I think I've gone through all the...
Okay.
Yeah, Chair, I think those are the questions you raised.
Yes.
I would not...
Okay. Well, I wanted to make sure that you are done.
Thank you.
Yes. Your service provider continuously saying you can help him. Do you want to help?
Yeah. Chair, I think he may have mentioned that in two instances. The one is on the award winner story. I also don't have any clue about that. That question would require specific detail to say what really transpired here, but really from what I can think, I really don't have a response for this. The award winner would then be aggregated like that, then I don't understand how can there be, you know, a 50% payment. Somewhere there must be some confusion somewhere. It requires some details. On the second instance is on the creditors and debtors. Indeed, he's right, Chair, at the end of the contract, if you would have a medium to long contract, when it gets finished, I mean, there would be some issues to be resolved and so on. And now what he approached the department, and he then said, look, there are much as he has creditors, but the creditors that he has is on the basis that he was in his implementation or execution of the contract, he incurred some additional expenses which he had put into you know, the department as a claim. And we have been going through that particular issue, and as a department we've agreed that we are going to apply our mind to it, and we will make a decision about it if it means that we get some advice in terms of that particular claim, we'll do so, but we haven't been able to resolve that.
Okay. Honorable members, I see Honorable Maloy, Honorable Stein, Honorable Paulson. Yes?
No, Chair, you know, my questions are not answered. Now, maybe the staff of the portfolio committee must assist the department. The beneficiary we are talking about, the 50% one, is between Mabato and Ramatlabama, the lady on your left-hand side. I don't recall the name.
but we'll get that name. Who won an award? Oh, now you remember. That's good. I'm happy that now you remember. Now, the other question, you know, the service provider, Chair, I'm not sure about this 50 cattle that they took from this poor African man to their farm. I'm not sure what is he saying. Is he saying they did that because the department told them to do so, that they must repossess those farms and those cattle and take them to your farm? And you would also check the duration for how long, because what I'm saying and what I'm insisting on is that once you give these poor Africans cattle to farm and so on, and you decide at a later stage to repossess, why do you have to take it to you, not to another deserving beneficiary? Why should it be you? And if it is not you, where are those cattle? Have they gone to another person who's supposed to be a beneficiary, or what is the situation? You are not answering that question. And the last point, Chair, you know, the service provider says he's the only director of the company, and he is not a partner nor whatever to this firm. It might be true, but is there any other person related to you who is a beneficiary in that firm?
Chairperson, I knew this was what we're going to get here today, this waffle of the department don't want to answer, the Agri Delight must answer, now it's back to the... We're not going to solve it here today. I'm going to make a proposal that we get a full report, Chair, from the department. From the first day, how was the service provider appointed? Was there a contract? What do you call these things that you sent out and people come in with proposals and those nice things that we are supposed to do in government and that we don't do? Every contract that service provider got, we want to see the letter, what was they supposed to do, what did they do, where did they go and do it, what was the amount, so that we can go and follow up with the beneficiaries. Because what we have heard over the last 3 years from beneficiaries is that they were told to do certain things. They could not farm like they would usually do in the province, because a person came and told them to do this and to do that, and to then go and get a quarter or a third of the value of what they would usually get when they did it themselves, when they were still working with the department. So we were doing a disservice to people in the Northwest Province. And this department, MEC, under your leadership, can't sit here and tell us they know nothing. It was done under your leadership in that. And I'm sending a warning to the other provinces and to the national department. We're going to follow each one of you. Every province will follow the same route. Get rid of these people that are stealing from poor people. Get rid of them. Your department are being funded. You're getting minister. They are getting paid. Officials are being paid to do the job. This, we are not... So, Chair, I make a proposal. We want a full report. Otherwise, we'll send the hawks to come and investigate.
Honourable members, let's not be emotional, so that we're able to finish our agenda. Honourable Paul, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I can't understand why we need a service provider to provide those things. Because of that, there's no capacity in this department in the Northwest. I think if we look at the Western Cape, these things that have been done in-house without being outsourced. Because the minute things go out to tender or they go out, there's an opportunity for corruption. So we must remember, this is the land of Supra.
We are now out of order.
Okay.
No, Paul,
not only that, Chairperson, a very important question you asked, you raise an issue of Thembile Chap, who is owed almost R1 million for a couple of years. Nobody answered it. Now, you must know, if they're avoiding to answer it here, that poor man, his life is in disarray because he's provided a service to Northwest that he is not being paid for. And you raised the question, the chairperson of this portfolio raised the question.
Yes, the department is still going to answer. It's a national contract. It's not a provincial contract.
You know, chairperson, this is also another problem of passing
the
buck.
No.
I raised this question with the minister, and the minister said the province must take care of it.
No, listen.
Yes.
No, listen, honorable member. I don't refuse you to ask questions. Let's not presume or declare people stolen or thieves and without us doing a proper thing. There's nothing wrong for us to
I didn't say anyone's a thief. I said there's a possibility of corruption.
You said something about Supra and is the premier of the province. I want us to, if there is a need for any...
Yeah, but I didn't say anything about Supra. I said that this country... I didn't say anything about him. Chairperson, are you making inferences to him? Because
no,
that is out of order, Chairperson. Really, that's really wrong. Because I mentioned that it's his province.
No,
that's all I said.
Proceed, honorable member.
Okay, so Chairperson, I think for me, that just sounds dodgy. He may be done, but he actually has to be finished, really. If that man is going to constantly come here and be arrogant when he responds to this committee on important issues, we must cut that lifeline now. But even more importantly, today, Chairperson, we must be told by when Thembile Tshepo will be paid. Really. Or heads must roll somewhere. You cannot starve a man that's provided services to a province.
Thank you, Honorable Paulson. The National Department will respond on the question. We've discovered that they are the contractors. They'll tell us why it's not been paid. Agridelight, you have not responded to the questions as raised by Honorable Maloy on the 50 cattle that you took from the smallholder farmer, take it to your farm. Do you have an answer for that, or you'll send a report?
Yeah, I think Chairperson has asked that I must be direct and answer some of the questions. The cattle were taken on instruction of the department. It's not something to hide, Honorable Manoi, and I think they redirected the cattle to, the beneficiary that the department deemed relevant. I think that's basically what I can give. The details of names, where it was, specific farms, I think we can put that in a report.
Okay.
And then there was also a question of... on the same farm, is there someone related to me? The farm where I'm alleged, or Agridelight is alleged to be a partner. Can I also request that we request the farmer to give us his registration documents for CIPC so that it's then confirmed in the report? I wouldn't want to say anything that I don't know.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair. I think the last question that has not been responded to, which I actually misunderstood, was with regard to the farmer, a woman farmer that was visited in Ramatlabama, who at the time of the oversight visit, she had won herself, she was one of our provincial female farmer winners. But at the time when she won the prize, she would not instantly get the money. It would then mean that in the next cycle of the financial year, we will then put into planning her project such that it can be funded. So that project is going to be funded into the 2018-2019 financial year. Right? And there were also other requirements that were requested by the farmer instantly during the time of the visit. For instance, she needed a tractor and some implements, and we've been able, utilizing the departmental budget for that, for the current financial year, been able to put up mechanization packages. And then the female winner award money then would then be used to expand, you know, the area where she had planted, you know, as you could see, as you could remember, Honorable, which is what we will be doing in the 20, from starting from April. But since the last visit up to now, we've been able to provide the farmer with the, there were two requests. One was immediately put up a tractor, and we had to go and get the tractor and with some other implements from the, our Khora farmer training. And in the process that we were able to purchase the, an entire package for that particular farm. And now the third stage would then be now to expand, you know, the vegetable production, which is something that is being accommodated in the project list for 2018-19. So that's how I clarify that one in terms of a response.
Honorable Maloy.
Chair, I just want to agree with Honorable Stein, that not only the department but the AgriDelight must also provide us with a written report on this matter that we have raised, including this farm that we are talking about, where they or somebody related to them are beneficiaries, therefore the farm is successful. But when it comes to others, they are dragging their feet, they are not assisting farmers and so on. Also, with regards to tractors, they must also provide us with a full report. This report must be written and be sent to us. It must be official. If in case he decided to take a conscious decision not to speak the truth, nothing else but the truth before this committee, we know that he would have done that in writing, then we act on the basis of what is written. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. As we close the Northwest issue, the issue of graduate unemployment. I think we have agreed, Minister, if you remember with your program, that we need to get them to farm. We don't need them to be employed as a staff or whoever. So, and it's important that a provincial plan must talk to the national indicators, because if the minister talk of taking those graduates to become farmers, we employ them. It's a contradiction. So we at the time this program was introduced in the department, minister promised to get state farms and deploy those graduates in those farms. So it must be sorted out like that. We want to create farmers. We don't want to. There are a lot of workers. The system is bloated. They must go and produce food. Those students. The commercialization, as I've indicated, will wait for the framework, and the next interaction with the provinces will then zoom into those frameworks. What is it that you are doing to achieve that? Because the department now is talking about 5 years. So we'll follow up on those issues. MEC, the issue of agri-parks, Minister, can you put this thing in your min-max? I want to save you from not giving us answers, Minister. I want you to go and put it in the MINMEC, join MINMEC, and where you deal with the financials of those agri-parks. And as we are going to interact for the budget process, probably in the next quarter, we should have the answer of that. And the province will then give us the those farms that are of recap or plus and other things that we are supporting as a department, because we need to again to in the that joint MINMEC minister to resolve the issue of the recap, so that there is no confusion. The issue of AgriDelight, sir, you will then give the report on the issues that they've raised, and why certain things are done, as the members have asked that question, and then you submit it to the committee. So we are mindful of MEC, of the concurrent functions. We have visited the project that you told that are of conditional grants. That's why we need that report. So we follow the conditional grants ourselves. There is provincial legislatures that will follow your equitable shape. So I just wanted to clarify that. And thank you very much, MEC, or do you want to say anything before we end? Okay, thank you very much. We are going to adjourn for lunch and come back at...